Hello and welcome to the Auditory Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi.
And I'm George Meany.
And we're busy laughing right now because we're trying to test out some new intros for the show.
Well, no, you're trying to spam me with intros that are inappropriate.
One of these days, you're going to like them and you're going to be like, that's the one. That one has to stick. So, you know, maybe we will do like a, you know.
The one you just played was like I died and went to heaven.
We've got to try everything. You never know. One of these is going to work. One of these is going to work. One of these is definitely going
to
work. But anyways,
highway to hell.
Today we're talking about something that we've kind of briefly touched on a while back, which was infotainment systems. So we're just going to unpack that a little bit, just getting to know what they are, what makes a good one, what makes a bad one, some of the problems that people have kind of raised, as well as the future of this thing that's called infotainment. But before we get into that, when I walked into the office this morning, George, I saw an electrified Volvo C40.
Mm.
I wanted to know if you had anything to do with that.
Which one? The gray one or the black one?
It was gray.
Oh, the gray one. I'm not driving that thing.
Okay.
I'm driving the black one.
What are you driving? What is it?
C40.
Oh, and? Thoughts?
I've had it since last Friday. I think that Volvo C40 is the shit.
Yeah?
And the reason I say that is it's taller than my I-Pace, okay? Mm-hmm. So it feels more like an SUV. Okay, my I-Pace is not an SUV.
Yeah.
So it's taller than my I-Pace. It's shorter than my I-Pace. It feels like a go-kart. A little bit more roll than my car.
Yeah.
But it still sticks to the road like flipping snot to a blanket.
Still got the same sort of performance that you expect from an EV.
Yes, yes. Okay. It's 0.1 seconds slower than the I-Pace, but you're not gonna feel that.
Okay.
It's got that grunt off the mark. But the thing that blew my mind with this Volvo, and it's just because I don't think I've ever driven a car with this tech.
Mm.
And I went to the gym, and you know it gets dark early now.
Yeah.
So I went to the gym and it was dark. So I drive the car and it was load shedding.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, just to make matters worse.
It wasn't a big deal. Driving an electric car, doing load shedding. Anyway, so, get out of the area that I live in and it's pitch dark and the lights, like they illuminate the road so well just on this particular car, right? Next minute a car comes opposite direction.
Flashing the lights at you.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I look on the dash, the car's bright lights are on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm expecting that.
Yeah.
I'm expecting this person to flash me to say,
like "You're blinding me."
You're blinding
yeah,
me.
Okay. Like dial it back a little bit. Yeah.
Doesn't do that.
Mm.
Right. Next minute, I see this dark patch over the car.
Oh, okay.
That was coming towards me.
So the lights read the car that was coming and kind of,
and almost bent the light around the car
yeah.
That didn't blind him.
Yeah.
But the rest of the
road is still
road was still with brights on. So, and then as the car's coming towards you, its position is changing.
Yeah.
And you can see the LEDs moving.
Yeah.
As the car is.
And you didn't know this feature was there.
I did not know it was on that Volvo.
And it made a difference.
It was like, I can actually see at night.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
Because the brights are on everywhere else, but not on the car. Even like somebody was crossing the road.
Yeah.
Created a black hole around the person as he crossed the road. I was like, check at these lights. It knows where that person is.
Oh, gee, but like ultimately though, you're really happy with this. I mean, you've driven the P8, you've driven the P6.
Yes. Yes.
And now
I think still this is a Volvo.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't wait for the, what is it? CX30, I think it is.
I think it's the EX30.
Yeah, I can't wait for the EX30 at the end of the year because I think that particular electric car is going to be first of all, it's going to be one of the cheapest electric cars on the market. It's $799. That's what it's coming in at. And then secondly, it's not a ICE vehicle trying to be an electric car.
So that was one of the things that came out when we had, I think we had Greg inside, Greg from the CEO of Volvo, and we're speaking about the XC40. The P6. And one of the things was, it was kind of a transition period for...
Yes. And you can kind of feel that in this 40.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's brilliant. It's well made, solid car. But it still feels like the traditional Volvo. So if you're a traditional Volvo driver, the thing that's going to blow your mind is the instant torque, all the stuff that electric cars bring, right?
But very familiar.
Right? But it's going to still be a familiar Volvo feel.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the EX30
is a brand new kind of the next frontier of what Volvo's kind of design. Well,
if you look at the EX30's dash, so let's just Google it, EX30 dash. And if our lovely producers could maybe put one of those images up on the screen, would be useful, but I'm going to put one up on my laptop. Have a look at that EX30 dash. What does it remind you of?
It reminds me of a Tesla. It's got that giant like tablet looking sort of
thing on the dash.
Sensor console, yeah.
Okay.
And there then pretty much that's nothing it. Else afterwards. It's just really, really big. And
it's a there. Very eye-pacey steering wheel. Okay.
Yeah.
It's got the piano black, the glass touch areas, but the current Volvo has that as well. So I can't call it an I-Pace steering wheel. But where there's hardly any tactile buttons.
No, no.
You know, indicator and you know the stalks.
Yeah.
But other than that, everything is on the tablet.
So are you a fan of that? I mean, obviously we're going to be speaking, we're going to dive into that specific thing a bit later. But are you a fan of having no tactile buttons on a dashboard when it comes to how you interact with the vehicle?
In my personal opinion, having driven now ICE vehicles and now an electric car and driven most of the electric cars in the country, there are certain buttons that you need to be available.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be tactile. They don't need to be physical. Mm-hmm. They can be digital, mm-hmm. but they need to be available.
You know, one of the things that have come up is this idea that having no buttons, that's kind of the trend right now. All the car companies are taking away.
Well, they're obviously following Tesla's lead.
Yeah. And I'm not too sure if that's the best way to go about an infotainment system.
Okay. To explain?
So an infotainment system, I think, let's just define
what do you need? You need skip forward, skip backwards, volume up, volume down.
But
pause.
Well, no, I think you can leave some of those things on the display, but there are certain other functionalities like your windows, for instance, where some, like Tesla, for instance, I think, where if you want to put down your windows, you have to go to the infotainment system to put your windows down.
Yeah, that's a bit deep. That's too deep. I don't know if that's true though.
I know in some car companies that's what the infotainment system is, and I think if you define an entertainment system, it's basically where you get all your information as well as all your entertainment features within some sort of sensor console. And you can control the information as well.
No, Tesla's got physical tactile window buttons.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that was a lie.
It wasn't a lie. It was just it's very hidden. So look, that's probably why you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It's very hidden. So it's in the...
So it's there on the side.
It's there. Okay, that one's more visible, but this one I'm looking at, I think, is the Model Y, and it's even more hidden.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why we haven't seen it. But yeah, that's the Tesla dashboard.
Yeah.
And everything is buried in that tablet. And what you're saying is no.
I'm saying bury some things because, unfortunately, once you have one thing on, you can't have all of your buttons now visible, whereas before... In the more sort of, I don't know, conventional sort of sensor console and dash, you had everything in front of you. You didn't have to go and scrolling in, you know, through different.
Yeah, but it looks messy.
There's ways to do it in a nice, classy way, which doesn't look.
No,
messy.
It looks. I don't think it looks too busy.
Yeah.
It's distracting.
Fun fact, though, there is research that's been done, and for the last 3 years running, so you know, JD Power does this survey, which looks at.
People are going to choose what they used to.
Well, 3 years running, the thing that people can complain about the most. Is infotainment systems. That's the thing that new car buyers.
Oh, I'm not surprised, and that's because car companies are trying to be software engineers, and they're not.
So, do you think that infotainment systems should not be? Do you think they should be done by, like, for instance, you know, Apple CarPlay and Android Auto right now is kind of the wave.
Well, everybody's using Apple CarPlay and Android Auto because the infotainment systems are not great.
Mm.
on most OEMs' cars. Mm. Okay, the mapping products are not great on most OEMs' cars. Mm. And I think the reason for that is quite simple. They started out, the traditional OEM started out as a car builder, a car manufacturer, right?
Yeah.
They made a product
yeah.
that was mechanical. Okay. So their roots and their DNA, their soul is a mechanical product, a very good mechanical product. It's got window winder handles. Remember those? Window winder handles?
I do recall those.
Let me put one up on the screen to remind you. I don't think you were around when we had window winder handles.
I've experienced a window winder.
Okay.
Window.
Yeah, if you had a friend with a Polo with the rear ones being windy and the front ones being electric.
I mean, I did my driver's license in a Taz okay. with no power steering. So.
So window winder handles as an example. Yeah. So traditional car companies, their DNA.
Yeah. Had years of experience doing that. Years and years.
For 100.
Yeah.
No, 120 years now.
Mm.
For 120 years, they've been building mechanical products.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Brilliant mechanical products. State of the art mechanical products. Mm.
mechanical problems.
mechanical products. Along comes Tesla.
Yeah.
Okay. And they are a tech company first and then a car company.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a traditional OEM is a car company first and trying to be a tech company after that.
I think one of the things to remember is that people got used to using phones, tablets, laptops, and Tesla realized that that's how people want to engage yes. with information.
Well, I think, yes, but we still know how to ride a bicycle and there's nothing to do with the tablet there.
Mm.
Right, so it's the product itself. It's in the soul of the company. So if you had to ask me, the which is the better way? Should you partner with like Volvo has? I think Volvo's made a really really good choice. I think I said this months ago, to partner with Google, and to put Google Maps embedded into their product, into their mechanical problem now electric car.
Yeah.
Right. Because they realize that they're not good at building maps.
Yeah. I think that's the way forward. I'm not because I've been in one Apple CarPlay or Android Auto system is not gonna
it's not the way forward.
Yeah. It's never gonna be the same experience depending like from car to car to car to car. It's always a bit different. It looks the same, the interface is similar.
Yeah, but it's shit across the board.
Rather partner up with somebody who knows how to do it
exactly
the best.
Mapping? Google Maps. Google Maps has got a billion users.
Mm.
If you integrate that into your car with over-the-air updates, you have to worry about mapping. You don't have to become a mapping company. You have to worry about building the car.
Yeah.
Getting ahead of Tesla. So for me, Volvo's done that with Google Maps and with integrating Android Auto and Apple CarPlay.
Yeah.
They've done that well. So if you ask me, which is the better way? There is no better way. If you're a traditional car manufacturer, partner with experts in software and computer hardware.
Yeah.
If you're a Tesla or a startup or Rivian or some of the other electric car startups that are tech companies first, then build your own hardware and software.
Yeah. No need to try and do everything at once if. You've been doing something really well for years and decades and,
Well, an electric car is quite a simple concept, right?
Yeah.
Electric motor, it's got an inverter, it's got a battery, and it's got wheels and brakes like everything else.
So
the rest is software.
One of the things that people have kind of spotlighted the most is that there's certain issues that have come with kind of the infotainment systems that are on the market right now. One being... there's menus and menus and menus hidden behind different menus and menus and menus.
The simplicity's gone.
And as soon as you start removing buttons, for instance, then you have that problem just gets compounded. Then you have, your climate control, your volume control, I'm trying to see what's happening with the vehicle. All of that now is just behind.
But that's a setup problem. So yeah. I had this problem when I drove the BMW.
It was iX.
The 40.
Okay, yes.
The SUV.
Yeah, I think it's the iX40.
I'll show you. Well, bring up a picture of the 40 on the screen. iX40, this one.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So BMW gave me that to drive for a week. And my initial perception of the infotainment system was, oh, this is too tough to use. Mm. It was tough to use. There's too many menus in menus.
But was there any physical buttons there? Or there was
some tactile buttons. Yeah, so if you just... Yeah, that one. So I drove that for a week.
Yeah.
Do we have a picture of the... We have a picture of the dash of the iX40.
So that was kind of a hybrid between this tactile world versus some sort of...
BMW got this right. Mm. If you look at the dash of that BMW, I think BMW has got it right in terms of tactile versus screen. Look at that. Okay. There's enough buttons there to do the important things.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like the crystals. It's my one bugbear. But, you know, that's a Kardashian thing. Maybe they're trying to sway them from Range Rover.
Yeah.
but the execution here, I think, was a good one. Initially, I thought that touchscreen and that menu was too complicated.
Yeah.
But by the time I got to the middle of the free state, my brain...
It was quick to kind of, you know,
my brain adjust. Knew almost every sub-menu there because it wasn't too difficult.
Yeah.
And so maybe the people that are complaining... are the journalists that are driving the car for the first time.
Okay.
And to kind of, it's overwhelming to take all that information in, and so it irritates you because it irritated me.
I can understand that. But what about the thousands of people that are the new car owners who say that it's too complex and the learning curve is...
How old are they?
I have no idea. I don't have that data. But you're saying essentially if you just give it a little bit of time...
Yes, you'll be fine. Becomes, yes, it can get better and I think it'll get refined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like the cell phone got refined.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely doesn't scream, put more tactile buttons, in my opinion.
I'd be interested to find out what is the scenario where you know, crack your... How are you going to crack your screen? But if there's a malfunction with the software, for instance, how are you now going to raise your volume? And
there's been a few malfunctions in my software on my car. But it seems to be the way the OEM has built the electric car is seems to have two systems. Or well, my car anyway. I've had my map system freeze.
Okay.
Happened to me in the middle of the free state. Like maps aren't working anymore.
Yeah.
Then I turned on Google Maps on my phone until I got to the next stop, switched the car off, charged it, and when I came back, it reset itself.
Okay.
But the important bits of the car continued to work. Mm. Like
it's not like they're interlinked, right? Like the one does not like affect the other.
The infotainment system is seems to be separate from the core car driving.
Yeah.
You know, and working perspective. So the infotainment system, they do have glitches, and you can expect that.
Mm.
Especially if you're an early adopter, but I think Volvo has got the sweet spot.
So if you're looking for a new car, for instance, so
Volvo's got the sweet spot in terms of integrating with third parties like Google, right?
Yeah.
And BMW's hit the sweet spot with, in my opinion, with
kind of layout.
With layout, in that iX40,
and the user experience of.
I'm not saying the little three. iX3, I think it is.
Oh, the i3, yeah.
i3, sorry. Not the little i3.
Yeah, the big SUV.
No, the little SUV. The i3 was the old one, the little one. I'm not talking about that one.
Oh, yes, the X3.
SUV.
The
X3, yes. That's it. Yes. iX3, oh, I think iX3. It's still confusing me.
so many letters and numbers.
So the thing about the iX3 is it's a retrofit.
Yeah.
It's an X3 that has been turned into... It's a ICE vehicle... trying to be electric car. You know, so when they build it from the ground up, you can see that they built it from the ground up. And the EX30 from Volvo is one of those.
It's going to be exactly...
I think the EX30 is going to be a hit.
100%. So for anybody who's looking for a new car, though, because obviously the research is saying the biggest pet peeve that people have right now in new cars is the infotainment system. What makes a good... What should you look for when you're buying a new car when it comes to a good infotainment system in your experience?
Yeah, it depends on the OEM, eh?
Yeah.
You know, some OEMs have executed it reasonably well. I think the biggest thing for now is, does it have Apple CarPlay and Android Auto? Because without those, you might be getting a mediocre experience.
100%. I actually did went and asked the journalists what they think. You know, what makes a good infotainment system, what makes a bad one? And the things that came out the most is, you know, having a great resolution is always great, and having the user experience to be kind of integrated and seamless and easy to use is what's going to get you to win. So it's kind of the things that you've mentioned, but I'm still on the fence. I'm still waiting for an experience which...
Have you been in a Tesla?
I haven't, no.
Okay. I think you've got to experience the Tesla's interface to really understand what the future looks like. Of a tech company that's building a car.
No, I believe you.
I think the other OEMs will get there, but for now, partnering with tech companies is a good idea until they get there.
Do you not think it's a gimmick at all? Like, do you not feel that it's, do you think truly that it's a better user experience in terms of, one, not distracting you from the road, and two, getting everything that you need? I mean, having the software is great because it can be upgradable. It's, you know, we've seen VW, when they came out with the A4 system, there were some issues with it. But with updates, then it didn't matter what sort of, which model you had.
That's the thing. You can't update a tactile button.
Yeah.
But you can update a tablet.
But
and the other thing you can do is you can customize your user experience.
Yes. And that's, yeah. That's
so nobody, Tesla, you can do it to a certain degree. But nobody really has that option yet. Like my iPace as an example, I've got my front screen, a full map. I don't have dials. I've walked away from dials. Dials is old school. So it's just a full map on my front screen. So you can customize the user experience to a certain degree in the current electric cars. But I think that's going to get more and more and more, where you can now set up all the screens. You can put the important buttons in front of you and put the less important buttons deeper into the system.
I mean, I was going to ask you, what is the future of entertainment then? There's just no buttons at all in your car, ultimately. I mean, it's a point where people aren't even driving and it's just...
No. So I think the next thing is true voice.
Okay.
So every OEM, most OEMs now are trying to build again. And this is where executing it themselves is not great. Because again, they're not from that heritage. So voice assistants.
Getting to a point where you can be like, turn the volume up. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, we're there in some. I know Mercedes Benz with what it's called, but their system is really good in terms of the voice integration.
No, I mean they're good. I can't say they're bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, why do you need to use these meat fingers?
Let them drive the car.
Basically. Like, be your hands on the steering, use your voice to talk to the car.
Yeah.
Why do you need buttons?
No, I fully agree. That is the world I want to live in. Unfortunately, we're getting there.
Hey, there's another step after that.
What's the next step? Well, no more driving, I'm assuming. Just
thinking.
Like, your thoughts just decide what happens?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure we'll get there. I'm sure we'll get there one day.
Well, Musk is doing it.
With the, of course, called... Yeah, that thing, the nerve thing.
Neuralink.
The Neuralink, yeah.
Neuralink, yes.
That is the next step, for sure.
It's, you know, I'm not going to get all weirdo now, but but your body puts out electrical waves and signals.
Yeah. The inputs that tell your hands to move will now just be telling the car to turn up the volume.
Yeah, it's like typing.
Yeah.
Typing is actually an analog, slow thing. You know, like, typing is actually so antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's maybe faster than writing, but there's something faster than that.
Just thinking it. Getting weird.
You're sitting in your car, like, and you're thinking, oh, I need the volume up, and volume
and then
goes
up. Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe that's the future.
I'm sure it is. That's pretty much all the time we have for today. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to hit subscribe and like, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers. Search Auto Trader.